Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We've been talking about God's personal presence, and we've kind of categorized His presence, God's presence, in three very general ways. And this is not to, you know, pre-conclude that this is the way, you know, that we don't want to examine this too closely. This is not about categorizing God in any way in particular at all. Instead, what we want to do is be very clear on what He wants to do. And that is, His desire is to make Himself known to you in your conscious awareness, in your solical senses and your physical senses even. Again, your spirit, if you've been re-spirited, born again, your spirit is already communing with Him, communicating, receiving life, interacting, one being one with, existing in and with Him. So you don't have to get anywhere. You don't have to achieve anything or get closer to God. The problem is not that our spirit needs to get closer to God. Our problem is that there's a wall between our soul and our spirit. And that's what we need to address. That wall, we've built it. You and I, our soul has. Because without our spirit, our soul has had to rely on other resources. And to protect ourselves, this is the best way to think of it, to protect yourself, your soul built a wall. And that wall protected yourself, your soul, from being hurt, from controlling its resources. But it also keeps God out by keeping your soul and your spirit separated. God is not satisfied with having a relationship only with your spirit. You are not whole until you are spirit, soul, and body, one, union, a created being for this time, this earth zone, this creation expression. We don't know what came before us, and we don't know what comes after us. What's fascinating is in science, there are scientists and with new technology and just creative thinking, the expansion of our creativity in thinking what's possible, what's out there, the hindrances, the inhibitions fall away moment by moment. There is so much changing the more we are willing to allow it to be changed. And for you and I, God wants to open up our understanding of who we are, who He is, and what we're here for. And we do that by getting to know Him, letting Him reveal Himself on His terms. Not learning so that we can pass the test. But it's very personal. It's a personal presence, a personal relationship. The other ways that we've talked about the way his presence functions in our lives, in everyone's life, is the omnipresence of God. God is omnipresent to you as he is to everyone else. So everyone falls into that category. God also has a manifest presence, and he makes himself recognizable to sometimes unbelievers, but often to believers. But just because he's omnipresent and you recognize that he's everywhere and in everything, and even if you recognize or have even experienced his manifest presence, that you say, okay, that's God. There he is, or an angel appears to you. That doesn't mean you've been changed spiritually. You've been born again. And so you can be a Christian and have seen God. For you and I, though, only you and I who have been re-inspirited, born again, can experience his personal presence, person to person, if you will. We all have arrived at today on a different route. You got here your way, but it was crafted by God. Even in your own family, the experiences you've had compared to everyone else is going to be different. Your understanding, your temperament, your abilities, your history, your wounds are different than anyone else. But God crafted that experience as part of his plan to bring you into that personal relationship with him. So, however you got here, we say, Lord, today I want to know you personally. We have a hard time starting that relationship. We've gotten especially good at putting it off to some other forms of religion, even a fellowship, if reading a book, memorizing a book, certain activities. And though it's much more comfortable to talk about and popular, we still have a hard time practicing just being with him. And what I'm talking about is recognizing that the fastest way to know God on his terms is to let him reveal himself. Just to accept that even where you are right now, you are in his presence. He is with you right now. If you're driving, he's in the seat next to you. If you're listening to this while you're doing something else, whatever it is, he's with you right now. He's not only in you, but he's with you, and he wants to talk to you, communicate with you, draw you. So when we can accept that he's already revealing himself in our spirit, we can ask ourselves, what is it that we need to adjust so that our soul can also have that same experience? How can we cooperate with God? And we don't want to just set aside an afternoon or a visit. I don't want a visit from God. I want to live with Him, and I want Him to live with me. I don't want just for Him to come and go. I want that wall that separates my soul from my spirit to be gone so that I can fully accept and receive the eternal life that is already flowing in my spirit. It is so close, I can sometimes taste it and experience it and hear it. But for each one of us, God has a path to teach us and train us how to be healed, how to hear His voice, how to understand our own identity. But it all starts with understanding that it's letting Him reveal Himself, letting Him teach us. So how do we do that? How do we let God do anything? We make ourselves available. The way I like to call it is we cultivate a quiet life. This is going to be hard for some of us. We all struggle with trying to fit so much into our day. And there's so many distractions and there's so many things going on. And especially with our technological world we're living in, we always have something going. And so we ask the Lord if something that we have going on in our life, if we need to set it aside so that He can fine-tune our hearing and just listen. We don't necessarily have to hear something, but be able to just listen and be satisfied that that is an activity. Just being quiet is, in fact, our highest activity. I want you to think about when God poured Himself into a human form and became a man on this earth. When Jesus was walking around, He was fully man and fully God. He could have revealed Himself and forced Himself to be a monarch, to be a king. He could have taken what God gave him here on this earth instead of following the path that was set out for him. And one thing just amazes me, that as he learned how to be obedient to his Father, he also had to learn how to not be himself. He learned that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Son of God. And he learned the power that he had. And he could have avoided what God, what his Father had set out for him. Even on the cross, he could have come down anytime he wanted. All he had to do was think it, and the earth would even disappear. His greatest gift to us was to do nothing. and allow the Father to place that sin upon his shoulders. And for us, that's also something we have to learn how to do. Not that we bear the sin that he bore, or we don't have the same task that he had, but we learn that being inactive, silent, quiet, and allowing God to do what he wants to do in our lives is sometimes something we have to learn how to do. And again, wherever you're at, this is why it's so important to be able to hear his voice. What is he saying to you? This may not apply to you right now. He may have told you, I've told you what you need to do. You need to be about doing it. What is he saying to you? Are you hearing his voice? Have you heard him tell you, I love you? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that he does? If not, I want you to ask him that right now. Lord, do you love me? And until you hear his answer, I want you to ponder that question and allow him, give him the opportunity to answer you. Is his love real for you? If it's not real for you, anything else you hear or have heard, there's going to be a filter on it. There's going to be a slant, a skew, because you need to know that you're starting out from that perspective. You already have his love. And Lord, I ask that you make that real right now to those who have not experienced your love and that certainty of having that love, that unconditional love, that gift of love. Make it real. Do whatever it takes to make it real. So we start from there and do and take as much time as you need. But make that a goal, to be able to say, yes, I have experienced, I know for a certainty that he loves me as an individual. Not because he loves all people, but because he loves me. I've experienced his love. I know he loves me. And that's where we start. That's when we can relax in his presence. And very often crises are in our lives to show us, to reveal to us areas where we have not experienced his love for us. Where we've said, Lord, you can touch any other area of my life except that. And of course, you know, that's probably where he's going to go. But we want to let him lead us the way he wants us to go. He knows what you need for tomorrow. Most of the time, it's not information. It's preparation. It's training. It's understanding. It's having receiving enlightenment. It's being changed, being freed, being healed. It's not information. Now, very often, through the training process, we will receive information about what our tomorrow holds. But we can then know that unless he tells us, now that I've given you this information, I want you to do this and so, that we just face that tomorrow with boldness enjoy, and rest. At the core of this relationship, again, is that quiet life. Recognizing that intimate communion with God on a personal level occurs within us, within our soul and our spirit. Part of our daily task will be to lessen and even be able to ignore the noise we live in on a daily basis. This is not just what's going on in our circumstances. When we're at work, all the noise going on at work. When we're driving, the radio has to be on. Whatever it is, this is just not about our environment. The activity in our soul, our thoughts, our emotions, our decisions. We very often just have questions going on. We have a decision we need to make, and we let that just roll around in our head, taking up all our energy. All these need to be brought under the control of our spirit. Now remember, your spirit is already under the control of God's spirit. So most of the work's already done. But our goal is to be able to recognize his slightest whisper or moving in any of the realms we exist in. And again, we exist in three realms: the natural, the supernatural, and the spiritual. And we have senses in each one of those realms. And we need to learn to identify them. And that's what God is teaching you. But in order to be trained, we need to quiet. And this is often why he draws us away from certain things. Sometimes for a season, sometimes for the rest of our lives. So that we can hear him. So that he can quicken our senses. To be able to do that, the activity in each realm must be neutralized, where it is neither positive or negative, and does not affect our ability to know God. Now, all activity in the spirit realm is already in perfect alignment with God's spirit. So this is not an area we need to go in and get our spirits lined up. But we have to have gain an awareness of that unity. As you devote time and attention to knowing God in general, it is likely he will begin to point out areas that need to be adjusted from your life, or areas of your soul that need to be healed or brought under control. This is really important that you remember this, that this is not an indictment. This is not a criticism of that activity. If God, for instance, if God says, I want you to stop watching TV for a week, or if you maybe just sense his presence about listening to the radio on your way to work, there's nothing wrong with the radio. There's, in most cases, there's nothing wrong with TV. So we want to pay attention instead to what are we going to use that time for. Again, it's when God draws our attention to this, think of it as knocking. He's knocking at your door. Don't be distracted by the knocking. Open the door. Let him in and commune with him. When the phone is ringing, don't rush over and listen to the phone ring. Answer the phone and commune with him. Talk to him. Don't be distracted by the knocking, by the phone ringing, by him saying, set aside some time for me this week. I need to talk to you. Stop watching TV for a week. Or give up TV altogether. Whatever he tells you. And most of us have gone through that at some point or another. The point being that don't be distracted by that. Instead, spend time with him. Lord, what is it you want me to say, to hear? So during that time, let him draw you into a restful state. Or whatever condition or teaching he wants to share with you. Allow him to speak to you and direct you and provide for you the training that you need for whatever that situation is. He will provide for you exactly what you need. He does that for all of us. And it's already waiting for you. Your tomorrow is waiting for you. And he's already seen it. And guess what? Your spirit has too. Now, as we learn about God's personal presence, what we find out is, as we experience it, it is so complex and yet simple. But it's something we have to experience for ourselves. Don't worry about trying to understand or comprehend or even be able to relay your experiences with someone else. Just know that that drawing you're experiencing, if you have any desire whatsoever to hear his voice, to know him at all, that desire itself is the promise that he will make himself real to you. That desire cannot come from anybody or anywhere other than God himself. And God does not tease us. He does not dangle a carrot in front of us and say, come and come this way, and then not give us the carrot. A desire to know him does not come from our enemies, from the world system, from the devil, from our flesh. It's the exact opposite. They will attempt to distract us from him. Now, if you have any desire whatsoever to know him better, more restfully, more clearly, whether it's a something specific or something general, that desire comes from him. And how do you act on that desire? It's easy. Well, it's simple. It may not be easy because he may start putting his finger on things. But you know what? It's worth it. He is worth it. What do? Lord, whatever it takes, I give you permission to do. I want to know you. Thanks. Now, whether you've ever said that or not, doesn't really matter. Because your spirit has. Your spirit has already given God permission to do whatever he wants to do in your life. So if you're fighting him, you're really fighting yourself. God knows what is best for you. God knows what will make you happy. And God knows what will make you whole. We'll talk more about this next week. Thanks for tuning in. You can always get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. Until then, have a great day. This has been Diane Thomas at Prepare Radio. Have a good night.